Good morning. Welcome. It's the Bible study on the Messenger of Good News Worldwide, KFUO. KFUO is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Letner. Thanks for being with us this morning. On a week, weather-wise, you never know what to expect. On a week, Valentine-wise, you never know what to expect. Don't be one of those husbands. Believe me, I know. Don't be one of those husbands.
Now, I can't say anything because my wife's listening, so I don't want to spoil the surprise.
Really?
Yeah.
You mean that Mercedes with the big bow in the parking lot isn't for her?
No. Got to keep it quiet. Got to keep it.
That is Pastor John Lukomsky from St. Paul and Trinity Lutheran Churches over in Southern Illinois, Darmstadt, and New Athens.
That's right.
All right. So what's the big production this time? There's always something going on.
No, it's not for me anyway.
Really?
Yeah. The theater group's doing another play in March, but I'm not involved in it because I have other things to do. I have this Lent thing that we're starting this Wednesday.
That's right.
For a limited time only, though, Roland. For a limited, only 6 weeks, and that's it. It's over with.
So for a limited time only.
Take advantage of Lent while you get the chance.
Your first two sins forgiven at no charge with your paid membership.
There you go. That's right.
So what else is going on? Anything new? Happy, I guess, what? Blessed Fat Tuesday, Happy Fat Tuesday, Happy Mardi Gras.
Yeah, that's right, Shrove Tuesday.
Lay, Rolay, Lay, Bon Ton,
Rolay. Yeah, that's right. So you're going out partying tonight?
Oh, heaven forbid, no. I left those days way behind. No, I've reached a point in my life where two glasses of red wine gives me a splitting headache.
Is that right? Yeah,
Yeah.
So one glass, though, is okay.
We're not going there. We're not going there, but who knows what the possibilities
may
be.
Wine gladdens the heart of man. That's what it says in the Bible.
Well, look at this. Look at this. We get to celebrate one of these great verses of Scripture today.
Really?
Love your enemy.
Love your enemy. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Would you rather talk about baseball?
I don't know. There's really not much to say. Football's over, so I guess we'll just do this.
We'll just have to do this, huh?
Well. Yeah. And it is, you know, it is an interesting section. It's not my favorite section of Luke. It's kind of Luke's miniaturized version of the Sermon on the Mount that Matthew has a lot more detail on. But I think there's some good things to...
Well,
in fact, here's a little bit of trivia for you that you may not... This is the first commandments that we have in the whole Gospel of Luke.
The very first ones.
These are the very first ones.
Yeah.
So that means they may be of significance.
Could be
this
important.
This is the first thing that Jesus, if he's sitting down and telling you what he wants you to do, these are the first things he tells you, which is kind of ironic that he doesn't talk about committing adultery or murder, but he says you're supposed to love your enemy. So anyway.
So murder or adultery is okay.
Well, no, I'm not saying they're okay.
I knew I would like to do better than Matthew.
But well, it's just funny, though, that, you know. Up to this point, we haven't had any commands.
Would you do me a
thing out of his mouth is love your enemies.
Would you do me a small favor?
Sure.
Would you explain something to me? I've been wondering about this for a long time. Well, why is it you pastor guys are always saying stuff we don't want to hear?
Well, that's just because we have to preach what the Bible says, and the Bible says a whole lot of stuff that we don't want to hear.
Yeah,
so
that's
there you
true.
Go. Yeah. Just part of the job.
Just part of the job?
Yep.
Oh, well.
One of the hazards of being employed as a pastor.
So, no matter, like the wives, submit to your husbands. I bet every pastor loves preaching on that verse.
Every time I do premarital counseling, we have to deal with Ephesians 5, and I always have to preface. But of course, what I preface is by saying, now wait, if you think this is bad, wait till what we're going to say to the husbands, where it says basically you just have to give up your life for your wife. And no husband that I know of. No, I'm getting married because I want somebody to make breakfast for me.
Yeah.
I wasn't thinking about sacrificing my life for her.
Yeah, you know, speaking of sacrificing your life, why is it that Christian love is perceived as being this kind of love only a weenie would welcome? You know, this warm, soapy hug. There's no manly man stuff here in loving your enemies. That's smoting and smiting and punching the other guy.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Well, I have no idea because actually it's the worldly love that is kind of romanticized and wimpy. It's the Christian love that requires real sacrifice in order to accomplish it. And, you know, to love your enemy, punching him out, that seems like a pretty natural response to me. But to love your enemy, no, that requires
You've never heard the phrase, I love you to death?
Yeah. Well, that's what the Bible says, right? It's like heaping hot coals upon his head, it says somewhere in the scriptures.
Well, let's pray.
Okay.
And lots of questions today. Again, I have with great
many,
endeavor and fruitless passion.
Have you got there?
I've got 3 pages of notes for you today. And as always,
we'll never get to it.
We'll never get to it.
I'm glad you still live in that delusion that maybe someday.
I live in Egypt.
Do you?
The land of denials.
Well, let's pray. Oh, Lord, we thank you that you have laid this law before us. As Roland says, we usually don't want to hear the law, but there's really some good things in here about our relationship to you and about our relationship to our brothers. And so we pray that despite our unwillingness because of our sinful flesh to hear, that you would give us ears to hear, and that this will come into us and into our hearts and perhaps even make some changes in us, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. Our text assigned for today, Luke chapter 6, verses 27 to 38. And I will beg to differ with you, Pastor, on one point. You said most often we don't like to hear the law.
Yeah.
I love to hear the law.
Oh, do you?
When it affirms that the guy next to me is the jerk I know him to be.
Well, okay, and I've added another thing to that. Yeah, so we love to hear the law, like you said, that it accuses the guy next to us.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We can go, I said, Pastor, I know exactly the kind of people you're talking about. I have to deal with them every day. Are we like the law if it's something that we feel like we can accomplish. That's all right, too, because we can say, we might even say, well, I've done that. Thank God. I know that. I can scratch one off the list. But unfortunately, then you really haven't heard the law, and we're going to hear the law today. I don't think anyone's going to walk away from this text and say, well, I guess I'm a pretty fine Christian. Thank you for teaching me that, Jesus. I've done all this from my youth, as the guy once said.
Well, why should I give a rip about my enemies?
Well, because God says you're supposed to.
Okay, that's the easy answer.
Yeah. Now, before we get into the details of the text, before we get into your questions, there's a couple of things I'd like to point out in general. Could we do that?
Wow, I actually made it 3 questions in.
Yeah,
and now you stopped.
No, you actually have 3?
Yes!
Okay. Well, no, because I was reading this, and there was a couple of things I encountered that kind of surprised me. And I always like to share things with people, because I figure if it surprises me, it might surprise other people.
Mm, true.
But, well, here, just look at a couple of verses here. Let's jump, because you know the business at the beginning. You're supposed to love your neighbor. If he slaps you, you're supposed to turn the other cheek, okay?
Right.
And then he goes into this business in verse 32. Read verse 32.
If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them.
Keep on reading.
And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same.
And one more verse.
And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount.
So basically the principle we have here is if you're being nice to people because they're nice to you, whoop-de-doo. That's what everybody does, okay? But what struck me is the word that Luke uses repeatedly here to describe that phenomena, people doing good things, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. What are they called here in this text?
Sinners.
Sinners. Now,
well, that can't be right.
Well, no, see,
they're such nice people.
Well, I say I didn't even thought of running down that avenue, but that's right, yeah. Because we would think, no, that's what you're supposed to do, and now these people are being described as sinners. But what struck me about that is because I'm much more actually familiar with the from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, and of course Matthew doesn't use the term sinner. Matthew talks about if you do this, do not even the tax collectors do the same. If you treat someone like they're treated, do not even the Gentiles do the same. So what reward, what benefit is there in that? And so I thought it was unusual that rather than giving these specific examples of sinners, tax collectors, prostitutes, Gentiles, that Luke would use this generic term in all of these instances. And so I did a little research on the word sinner, and would you like to know what I found out?
Sure.
Okay. Well, the word sin, actually, in the Greek, and you've probably heard this, but let me ask you, have you heard, what does the word sin mean in the Greek?
Well, okay. What are you talking about, hamartia?
Yeah, hamartia, yeah. That's right, yeah.
To miss the mark.
To miss the mark, yeah, right. Yeah. But what I didn't realize is that, actually, when someone is a sinner, it's not just that you at one point missed a mark, you know, because my old confirmation teacher said it was a term that they used to use back for the spear chuckers back there in the Roman days.
Right.
And they would miss the target when they throw it. And that was called a homered. But apparently in the Greek, if you are a sinner, that's what you do by nature. And now I know you go out on the range and you shoot.
Oh, once right? in a while.
Okay,
yeah.
And there's probably people out there that you just know they're never going to hit the target.
I have changed points from time to time because of the guy next to me, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, that's right, because you're afraid you might turn around and start shooting you or whatever. But so that's the sense of the word sinner. It's not just a guy that's missed the mark. This guy, he always misses the mark. That's just the way it is. This is a guy, I don't care how much practice, how much training you have, he just isn't going to hit it. He's a guy that misses. That's what it is.
Barney Fife.
There you go. Exactly. Yeah. That's a perfect example of what we're talking about. It's just the very nature. But see, here's what surprised me. The word sinner is not really common in the secular Greek literature. See, it's a very common concept for us. We talk about sinners all the time, but if you read the secular Greek literature, they seldom ever use that word. Now, it's not that they don't know of moral failings. Of course, they talk about that all the time, but for some reason, and it dawned on me why they don't like to use the word sinner, because the Greek concept, and perhaps even the concept that we have here in the world today, funny how things don't change, is that you do something wrong, you make a mistake, and you can correct it. That's the problem. So you've done something wrong, so you just need to start doing stuff right, okay?
Oh.
Whereas the concept of sinner is, no, you're the kind of guy that always does something
Barney
wrong.
Fife,
yeah. You're not going to get it right. You just can't. And I got to thinking about the kind of, again, sins that are associated with the term sinner. Prostitutes are often in the Bible associated with sinners. And you see, you could stop being a prostitute, right? You could quit that.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of thinking if your husband found out about it, he probably wouldn't be happy.
No.
You know? You could say, well, I'm not a prostitute anymore, dear, but I think that would probably, you know what I'm saying? It's the kind of thing that once you've done it, that's going to follow you the rest of your life. Probably the same thing with the concept tax collector, because a tax collector was someone who, by the way, was a collaborator, I think is the word they would have used.
Just change your name and nobody will remember anything.
Well, but that's what you'd have to do, because if people knew you were a tax collector, you could say, well, I haven't collected taxes for a decade now, but they would still associate, well, you're that kind of person.
Which is why there's no St. Levi Lutheran Church.
There you go, exactly. And why I think Zacchaeus, when he does his big conversion, he wants to give people times four what he took. Because you're going to have to do something like that to obliterate this image that, oh, yeah, I used to be a tax collector. And the other story, and then I'll bring this to an end, is the story, of course, that Luke has between the righteous Pharisee in the temple and the guy off in the corner, who it always tickles me. He doesn't say, oh, I've sinned, I've done wrong, but his phrase is, I am the sinner. I am the guy that misses the mark. This is what I do. I don't even have to work at it. I don't even think about it. So I just wanted to share that with you, because I think that's what Jesus is working here. He's not trying to say, here's a list of things for you to do that, as you said, you can use to judge other people.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
or you can use to judge yourself and say, well, I'm actually not that bad. But I think the point of what he's doing here is to help us realize that we are the sinners. We, by nature, are people who miss the mark. And it's not a matter that we're going to try harder or we're going to try to correct our mistakes, because it will not change what we are by our nature. So does that make any sense?
It does. And what it reminds me of, Pastor Lukomsky, is that Luke is writing essentially to a Gentile audience.
Ah, yeah.
Probably a very Greek-oriented audience who's not going to be big on this sin business.
No.
He's got to introduce this slowly.
And you see, that's interesting then, because so then he chooses a word that they don't usually use in context of moral things, and he makes it the key word that's repeated over and over and over again in this text. Now, you ready for surprise number two? And then we can go and we'll just go through the text. Whatever question
you want. I've already surrendered. Don't worry about me. I'm just along for the ride today.
I was wondering why you're waving the white flag. Go back to those verses you were reading again. Let's read it one more time, because there's another word that's kind of surprising in here.
All right, picking up at 32. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you?
Benefit. Okay, all right. So what benefit is? Keep on reading.
For even sinners love those who love them, and if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you?
All right, well, there's benefit again. Yeah. All right, okay.
For even sinners do the same, and if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you?
And you know, the crazy thing here is that it's still the same word in the Greek. And you know, I guess you know, your English teacher told you don't be so repetitive.
Yeah.
And so when they translate it, they say, well, we got to throw another word in here. But it's actually charis in every instance. It's what benefit, what credits, charis. But here's the surprise. You know what the word charis means? It's the word for grace.
Really?
For favor. Yeah, which I thought, well, that's kind of strange. That seems...
So it's not what benefit is, it's what grace is,
yeah,
that to
what
you?
What grace, what favor, what grace, what favor.
Hmm.
Yeah. And so Luke's putting that, another odd concept in here, and I appreciate your kind of background. So these Greek people are listening,
yeah,
and of course they're thinking as Greek people would do it. Okay, so what? How will this be accredited to your account? In fact, the, yeah, word credit, that has that kind of sense.
Sure.
You know, okay,
yeah,
so I've done this, and so I'm going to add some things up here on the great accounting, so when I come to the final judgment, God will say, well, look at all the things you've done here. But he doesn't use the word. The English does. I'm sorry. That's unfortunate, because the word here is, what favor, what grace will this be to you? But you see, Luke is trying
and
to
grace
get
grace is unmerited.
That's
favor.
How it usually,
yeah,
is.
Hmm.
Of course, this gets even more troublesome, because read the, where's the word? Oh, yeah, the next word, verse 35.
But love your enemies and do good and lend expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great.
And see, there it is. There's that word reward, which as Lutherans, of course, this makes us really uncomfortable, because we don't want to talk about reward, you know, because no, that's not how it works. It's all by faith. That's what we believe. And so now it's talking about how great is your reward. And you know, I tried to weasel out of that word. Honest to God, I got out my Bible. Oh, come on, it's got to mean something other. But actually, the usual use for the word there, which is mithnas, is even worse than reward. It's wages. It's often used as what you pay a guy because he's
really
worked.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. With reward, we could kind of try to tiptoe around it, but no, it's yeah, you did something, and this is what you get for it. However, isn't that interesting that word reward is intertwined with the word grace? Isn't that strange? Luke is combining, but I think you got
me. He should have gone to seminary. It would have, yeah, made a much better gospel if you had just gone to seminary.
No, I think the Holy Spirit is being very clever here, and I think you've kind of pointed us how clever, because he's talking to a whole bunch of people that have this concept that this is what life is about. You do your good works, you get a reward, you get a benefit or credit for that. You do bad, of course, if you're a sinner, well, there are consequences of that too. And this whole thing is trying to challenge us to think maybe this is not how it works. It's not how it works at all. And in fact, before we go back to the text and begin reading, and coming to the text, I say, well, how does it work, Lord? What is this all about if it isn't the way we think it is? And of course it's not the way we think it is, because we're what?
Sinners.
Which we always miss the point. That's how it is with us. We just miss it. But here's the interesting thing. This word mythos that is translated reward, or actually, like I said, usually just means wages, is used in this wonderful parable about a master who goes out to hire people, and he hires a bunch of people early in the day, and then he goes back and hires some people mid-morning, and then he goes and hires some people at noon, and then he goes back about an hour before the place is closing, the vineyard, you know, and he hires a bunch of people, and then at the end of them, he gives them all the same mythos. All the same reward. Which
and they're
of course,
none too happy about that, let me tell you.
That's right. Something's wrong here. But I'm just saying, I think God is kind of setting us up here to realize that maybe the divine economy does not work the way we think it is.
Hmm.
Okay. Obviously, the American economy isn't working, period. But apparently, I'm sorry. I shouldn't put in those political
comments. I bought gas this morning. I'm with you.
Okay.
I'm with you.
All right. So now we'll go wherever you want to go. I just thought those were things we needed to note that you wouldn't catch in the English, sad to say.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Pastor John Lukumsky, and I did not mention Wrestling with the Basics.
Oh, you should have mentioned
well,
that.
Was the big, I know I should have. I apologize.
In fact, because we've got a really...
I was a little hamartia
really,
there.
Really big show coming up, because we actually have the vice president coming in.
Joe Biden?
Well, that's what I thought, too. But no, apparently...
That guy's funny, let me tell you.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. He would have been a perfect guest for our show. But apparently it's just the vice president of our church body, Herb Miller. Vice President Herb Miller is in.
Now, wait.
Yeah.
First vice president,
first
right?
First vice president,
not the second, not the third.
No, he is the first.
If you're
going to
go for the vice president, you're going for the best one out there.
The very first one we could get. Yeah, no, he was just the first one we could get. So that's... and we're doing.
You may be listening. You may not get your program.
Well, this is the beginning of what we hope to be a series. Although, in order for it to be a series, you have to do it in repetition. And this may be the only time we do it. I don't know, because maybe we won't get anybody else that's foolish enough to come in with us. But our new premise is going to be we're going to have these people come in, not all the time, but maybe once a month, every other month, and they will tell us their favorite joke. Okay. And then they will tell us their favorite story in the Bible that teaches about God's love and forgiveness in Jesus Christ. So we're going to kind of combine our byword, which is we put the fun into the fundamentals, with also this really key focus upon the love and forgiveness of God. So we'll see how it works. I'm not sure how good a joke teller. Now, Joe Biden, like you say, that we could, but I don't know if he would have anything good to say about the gospel. So yeah, they're probably better off with Herb Miller.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, rumor has it, one of the shortest books out there is Lutheran Humor. I've heard this.
You've heard that.
I don't know.
Now you need to talk to your buddy Buzz, because apparently they're having laughs for Lutherans right after us.
And laughs for Lutherans.
Well, their little show after us, which Lutheran Digest or something?
World Lutheran News Digest.
There it is. Okay. Yeah. And at the end of that, they also have laughs for Lutherans.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody wants to get in on the
I know. There's actually a little lawsuit involved in this because they've stole our intellectual property, except no one would believe anything about us had anything to do with intellect. So I'm sure we won't.
Don't sell yourself short there. All right. Now.
Okay.
But for the premise of what we're reading,
yes.
and we will start to finish the text in just a moment, but what's to be gained by loving an enemy? What's to be gained by loving a guy who rapes or murders or who knows what to someone? What's to be gained by loving an IRS agent, for crying out loud? No, really.
And you have the whole premise. The premise is all wrong. We never do anything for what we gain from it. And that's the mockery that he's doing later on. He says, so what does this benefit you? What is this? And, of course, instead of using the word benefit, using the word credit, he uses the word grace. Because he's trying to say, this isn't how it works. We don't do anything because of what we will get from it. That's totally opposite of the whole Christian mentality.
But, okay, now listen to these first few verses with pagan ears.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
At verse 27, Luke chapter 6. But I say to you here, to you, I'm sorry. What? Who?
Go ahead.
Where?
I was going to interrupt you because you didn't say it right.
Did somebody come in?
Yeah, yeah,
no.
I know.
But I say to you who hear.
All right, I'm sorry. I know. Right. You hardly get it. But see, that's the whole point. The very beginning of this, Jesus is saying, now you're going to have to listen real carefully because you're not going to hear this. You're going to take it and you're going to interpret it in the way that you do as a sinner, but you miss the mark as a sinner. So you're going to actually have to ask the Holy Spirit now to open your ears so you can truly understand what I'm saying.
Hmm.
So if you can hear, I'm going to tell you some really shocking things. Now, okay, having said that, go ahead.
All right. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And for one, and from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either.
Which, by the way, that's not what the Baptist preached. Remember, the Baptist said, if you've got two cloaks, share with one who has none. Jesus is actually saying, not only give up your outer garment, but actually
give the shirt off your back.
The shirt off your back, literally. So you'd be left standing naked. That's what we'd be doing here.
There's a thought that nobody wants to have.
No.
Hoy. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. Boy, you Christians are a bunch of rubes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to find me a Christian.
There you go.
I'm going to take everything he has, leave him stark naked, and then he's going
to
bless me as I haul it off.
That does happen. That does happen.
Now, that doesn't make any sense, does it?
No, well, keep on reading. Read the next verse.
Well, we only have about a minute left. But it says, and as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them.
Yeah.
The golden rule?
Well, actually, it's the golden rule made positive, isn't it? It says, don't do to others as you wouldn't have them do to you or something. Isn't that? I think that's in the Old Testament.
Every other religion has it backwards.
Yeah. But here we're being positive. Do it as you would. Yeah.
So you act first.
Right. Yeah.
In order to...
And you treat them the way you would want them to treat
you. A reaction that would be similar.
Yeah.
Really? Well, really? All right. I want to see you try that on Highway 70 at 5 o'clock this afternoon. I really do. I want to see practical application of this verse, because there ain't a whole lot of reciprocating going on out there.
Yeah.
So why bother?
Well, and see, here's the thing. Because actually, I'm glad you gave us a concrete example. Because if you go out on Highway 70 in the midst of the traffic jam, and you treat people the way everyone else is treating you, which is cutting you off, and they don't care, I'm just going to get across that bridge before anybody else does, it just makes things worse. Haven't you ever come to that where the lanes are going down from 2 to 1, and you realize if everybody would just cooperate here, we'd be through this in no time at all. but it's because there's always somebody pushing in there, and somebody then not letting the guy pushing in get in there. That's why we end up being backed
up. They fly up to the last minute. Yep. I tell you, brother. Yep. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. A lot more loving of neighbor coming up here, yep. I think, in just a moment. Stick around. Good morning. Welcome back. It's the Bible study on the Messenger of Good News Worldwide, KFUO. Pastor John Lukumsky, our guest, and I did not mention, Pastor, Wrestling with the Basics, 9:05.
Oh, that's right.
Every Saturday morning, stream it.
That's right. You can actually listen to us 24 hours a day. We're on the web. You could just listen to us over and over
and over.
And many people do when they have trouble sleeping. That's what we hear. it's a sure cure to insomnia.
Really?
That's right. 5-10 minutes to listen to me and Matt.
Does it work for colicky snoozing babies?
Yes. In fact, it works. It's great. Babies come to my church and they fall asleep during the sermon, as do most of the adults.
You should have every set of new parents in Southern Illinois coming either to Darmstadt or New Athens.
You know what? We do have a whole bunch of new parents, and it just thrills me. I'm just so tickled because it's just so neat to see little kids. I just love little kids. It brings back memories of when we were fighting with our children, and they would get away from us and pop up two or three pews down the line and everything. So, no, I love little kids. Bring all the little kids you want to my church. That's fantastic.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, during the break, something you need to address here.
Sure.
Because people don't know what to do with assertive Christians.
Yes.
Because we're supposed to be, like I said, lovey-dovey, warm, soapy hug, kind of, cowering in the corner like a wimpy puppy. We don't raise our voices. We don't get upset about anything. And if we do, then obviously we're not Christians.
Yeah.
Want to add to that or take away from it?
Well, see, here's the thing. We got to go back to that opening phrase. Jesus says, but I say to you, those who hear. And so that's the point. What am I saying here? Because you're right. You can look at this at one point and say, well, then apparently every time some con man comes along, I'm supposed to just say, well, here, have my billfold. And here, have my credit cards.
There you go.
And, you're left with that impression. Or in fact, to take it in another direction, how could you not be a pacifist? Right? Seems like pacifism. And there are many Christians that have opted that. They said, that's what we're supposed to be. You're right. We're not supposed to be fighting back. That's what this text says. Okay? Well, here's two things we got to do with this. First of all, again, remember, Jesus says you got to be listening to me. And what Jesus is talking about is, again, about what it is to be a sinner. That's the issue. What is it to miss the mark? And the fact that to understand that this is the way we are wired, not something we do, it's the way we are wired. And he points out, here's the problem. When someone hurts us, what do we want to do? What's our almost immediate response? We don't even have to think about it. It's just what we do automatically.
Hurt them back.
That's right. It's the most natural thing in the world to do. Okay? And that's what Jesus is pointing out. He says, this, and in fact, when we get to the next verse, we'll see why that is a sin, why that misses the mark, because that's not how it works. That is not how God designs things to be. We are supposed to love enemies. But that is totally contrary to the way we think and the way we feel. All right, so that's the first thing you need to realize here. This is a powerful statement of the law, and the law is always designed to make us realize we're sinners. This is the biggest confusion most people have about the law. Most people think the law is a set of guidelines we're supposed to follow, and it is that. I'm not denying that. But on the other hand, the chief purpose of the law is to make us realize that we have missed the mark. Because our natural reaction is we want to hurt people. We want to even the score. That's what we want, vengeance.
Oh, yeah.
And that runs totally contrary to the way God operates, as we'll see in just a few minutes. However, here's the other thing that struck me about this text. One of the striking things that is here is someone slaps you on the cheek. Is that in there? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, offer the other one. Have you ever been slapped on the cheek?
Why do you ask?
Well, I'm just asking because I'll share with you the instance when I was slapped on the cheek. I'm just wondering what is this Roland was slapped on the cheek?
Yeah,
well,
yeah,
tell
I
us
did.
A little bit about it now, Roland. We don't need to have names here.
Back when I was in high school, I had a dispute with a coworker.
Yeah.
In a fast food joint where I was,
a female. Okay.
And didn't like the fact that I referred to her as being less than Well, endeavoring to do her best.
Oh, okay. All right. And
I used the L word.
She hauled
lazy.
Up and slapped you.
She let me have it. Yeah.
Mine actually came in...
Which, by the way, the next day my boss told me, good. I was waiting to tell her off myself. I'm glad you beat me to it.
Yeah, and I'm glad you're the one that got slapped. He's probably
that's
thinking,
exactly that's right.
I'm going to send you out again. Slap you. But my instance of being slapped was once when I mouthed off to my grandmother. And my grandmother was just, if I talk about this text, if there was anyone that came close to being in this text, that was my grandmother. She was truly a very loving, tolerant, patient person, unbelievably so, because she had some very, very difficult situations that she grew up in. But I remember once as a grandson, I lipped off to her, and she slapped me. It just told me, God, no, Grandma,
wow.
You're supposed to be. But I deserved it. You know, looking back at that, well, yeah, I can't even believe I said something like that to her. I deserved it. But my point is, see, we're not talking about somebody that comes to you with a gun. Right? They're not here ready to stab you.
Mm.
Okay? We're talking, I think that's what clarifies this. We're talking about people that we know. People we work with, people in our family, people in our friends. These are personal relationships, and yet they are indeed our enemies. They really are. And our natural response is to treat them the same way they treat us. But we're not talking about defending our country here, and we're not talking about defending our family, nor are we talking about being cheated at a bank or something like that. No. See, here it comes that classic scriptural teaching of the two kingdoms. You guys talk about that ever here in Icavio?
Something about that, yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much regularly, yeah.
Okay. So we have the kingdom of the left, which is the kingdom of the world, which does run by rules and laws. And if you speed, the cop isn't going to pull you over. The Christian cop now is not going to pull you over and say, oh, well, that's okay. I love you. So here, I'm not going to give you a ticket.
Put the fish on the back of your car.
That's
be
right.
Fine.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's going to write you out a ticket. And that's what he does as a Christian, because that's what we do in the kingdom of the left. And nothing Jesus says here is denying that. There are times when we have a responsibility as a husband, as a father, that, yeah, maybe we have to slap somebody. Okay?
Yeah.
I'm not sure that that's really probably the best thing for a father to do, but there should be consequences. We have to act on that. We don't say, oh, it's okay. No, you did wrong. You go to your room. You're grounded. Whatever.
Mm.
Sure, we do that on the kingdom of the left, but we're talking kingdom of the right here. We're talking about what we do as Christians. And again, we're not talking about defending the nation or protecting your family for invaders or anything like that, but we're talking about the way we relate with each other as brothers in Christ. And yeah, that's what we do. If a brother in Christ slaps us, and we say, here, buddy. Because, see, what we're hoping is when we do that, the brother will say, oh, my God, yeah, I really goofed up, didn't I? And
yeah.
You say, yeah, well, I didn't want to tell you that, but it's pretty obvious, isn't it? But it's also to say the same thing to us, that this is what we are by nature. I'll share with you one C.S. Lewis story. Can I do that
real
quick?
Oh, yes, please.
So you were talking about the highway, right? We're going down the highway, I-70. And again, I would argue, if we followed this principle, we'd all be doing real well. It is because of the jerk who comes speeding up, but it's not just that jerk, because, you know, if I let that jerk go by, we could still be trailing right on. But it's the other jerk that's not going to let him squeeze in there, and now all of a sudden, all of us are backed up.
That happened on McCausland this morning, no kidding.
Is that what? This is what I'm telling you. Honestly, this works. It really does work. But anyway, back to my point, C.S. Lewis's thing. So the guy's cutting me off, and what right away am I saying? What am I saying in my mind? If
you
not,
can't say that on the radio.
That's true. Okay, so you'll just have to imagine. But you know what I'm saying. But now here's the thing.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I would excuse myself and say, well, I was cut off guard. Right, I'm just doing my thing. I'm driving. I'm being respectful of the speed limit. This guy cuts me off. That totally caught me off guard. This is not the way I really am. I was just surprised. That's not the way. That's not the kind. I'm normally a person that is very loving.
Oh, yeah.
But I was just caught off guard. So here's C.S. Lewis's bit. He says, all right, let's figure this out. What if we wanted to find out if there were rats in the cellar? How do we do that? Would we turn on all the lights and make a lot of noise and then go down? No. We'd want to catch them off guard. That's exactly what we'd do. Then we'd see whether there were rats in the cellar. And, of course, that's the point. Yeah, there are rats in our cellar. Lots and lots of rats. We'd like to think we got them under control. But Jesus Christ is trying to say, no, there's something about you that runs totally contrary to the way God operates. But this is going to be good when we get to the end of it. But it's not very good here.
Mm.
All right. Does any of that help? Did that make any sense? Or
yes.
You got more questions you want to ask about that?
I do,
that,
but
or?
I've given up.
Oh, no, go ahead. Ask him if you want.
I'm going to the phones.
Oh, well,
no,
good.
I'm going to the phones, really.
All right. Oh, good.
I'll let Jan jump in
get
here
Jan,
and see if she can.
Here, yeah.
Jan, good morning.
Good morning, Roland. Good
and
morning.
Don't slap us, Jen. Honestly.
No.
No, okay.
I'm not good at that.
Oh, well, good for you.
Well, it's because I fight like a girl.
Oh!
But...
That's right. So do most men these days.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. Well, that's a whole nother conversation. Yeah. But I was looking at Luke 3, verses 7 through 14, and I'm thinking that our responses need to be different based on the context. Like when John told the people that were following him to bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And then he said, in response to their question about what shall we do, whoever has two tunics is to share with them who has none. So do we need to draw a distinction between our brothers and sisters in Christ and enemies? Or do we need to discern when a brother or a sister in Christ is in need?
Well, see, I think you got a good point. I think the whole need thing, that's an excellent insight, Jan. So in other words, if the thief comes to me, no, it's not out of need, it's out of his greed and selfishness, and that, of course, requires a different kind of response. That does require the response of the law that says, no, you're not going to do this, and in fact, if I catch you, I'm going to send you to jail. I love that insight, Jan. But on the other hand, if you see someone who is really honest and need, cannot help themselves, cannot do anything, well, then our response should be love and care. So I think that. But here's the other thing. I think the difference between what we've got with John the Baptist and what we got with Jesus now in the Sermon on the Mount. John the Baptist is actually answering a practical question. So what do I do if I see my brother in need? And John says, well, it's not rocket science. You got more stuff than you need, then give it to the guy that doesn't have any need. And there's your whole emphasis again upon the fact they are in need. They're not trying to rob, steal from you. They just don't have, and you got more than you need, so share with them. I think what Jesus is trying to get at here in Luke chapter 6, especially with that phrase, those who hear, he's trying to say, let's look at our hearts. Is this what we do out of our heart? And the fact of the matter is, well, maybe I should say out of our flesh. And the fact is, no, we don't do this out of our flesh. We don't actually want to give up the extra cloak to the guy who has no need. But we certainly, even if we might do that on occasion, we certainly aren't going to do it for our enemy. And Jesus says, see, there's the problem. You want to start distinguishing between people. And in God's perspective, all he cares about is if somebody in need. He doesn't care whether they're your enemy or whether they're your brother. But if they lack and you have, you ought to respond in love to that person, see? Because this is how God deals with everybody. He doesn't make that kind of distinction. He doesn't line us up and say, well, that guy's worthy, that guy's not worthy. Well, actually, I'm jumping the gun rolling because that's what comes later in the text. Did that help at all, Jan? Or?
Yeah, very much. I remembered a time I got slapped.
Ah! Yes, and it was a personal thing too, wasn't it, Jan?
Yeah, I was wrong.
Ah?
And, I got... And see, I had been warned.
Ah, yeah. I know
so,
you're. Yeah.
So it's like that. That's the other thing. Don't threaten somebody. Promise them.
There you go.
if this behavior continues, this is what you're going to get.
There you go.
I knew going in.
Yeah. Thank you, Jan.
Pastor.
Thanks, Jan. Take care. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I got a vision of Ralph Cramden when I was listening. Pow, zoom.
Pow, zoom. And again, I do like Jan's insight, too, because that's, you know, what are we talking about in terms of need here? Is this an abusive person? No, we're not. You don't have to put up with abuse, no. But if you've got an honest need here, then whether you like the person or not, whether he's been good to you or not, yeah, you need to treat them with love and kindness and help them out in every way you can. Well, more questions, or do we want to press on to the big verse here that comes in verse 35 and 36?
Just think a little bit of John about if you can't say, I love God and hate your brother.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's right. It's exactly contrary because, well, let's read 35 and 36 because this is the heart of what we're saying.
35, 36 of Luke chapter 6, but love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you'll be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful. He is kind to the ungrateful. That's a typo. That's a type. He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil.
And you know what? You know what's really... we'll read the next verse.
I'm going to call CP. This has got to be a typo.
No, well, that's what it
be
says.
Be merciful even as your Father is merciful.
The word for ungrateful there is actually acharis. It's people without grace.
Oh.
All right. So here's the crazy thing. The very people that we're talking about, that we're pointing fingers at, the people that don't love their enemies and don't turn the other cheek, the people that are without grace, without favor, yeah, God is kind to them too. And
well, the rain does fall on the wicked. You are right.
Well, that's yeah. Now, see, there you go. Now you're talking Matthew talk from the righteous and the unrighteous. But see, this is the whole operating principle that's totally... Our operating principle, again, is based upon reward and based upon benefit and credit. So if you're good, then I'll be good to you. But, oh, man, if you're not good, then watch out, because I am now assigned to be the avenger. But no, this is not how God works. God loves everybody. He really does. And honestly, this is so hard for us to believe, Roland, because we just think there's somebody. And here's where it gets tragic, because we often think that he can't love us. That there's something. I have a whole host of people. I don't know if they're listening today. I wish they were, but I have a whole host of people that I counsel that just don't feel like God can love them because of whatever it is they did, that somehow that puts them outside of the grace of God. And this text is just a powerful call to realize that's absolutely not true. There is nobody in this world. And that's hard for us, you're right, because we're thinking there's some people in this world that God shouldn't love. But, of course, when you go running down that alley, you'll come to the conclusion that he shouldn't love you either, because you don't love your enemy. You don't do the things that are here. In fact, you don't even want to do these things. But there lies the bold statement. He is kind to the ungrateful, those without grace, and even the evil. Okay? He's still kind to them. And you know what he is? He's merciful. That's what he is. And so this
is... Well, to a point.
Oh, no. There's no end to his mercy. There's no end to his mercy.
Darn it.
Yeah, yeah. See, that's the hardest thing for us to realize. No, he is merciful to everybody. Now, you can reject his mercy. Yeah, you have the capability of doing that. To me, the saddest story in the Bible is when the prodigal son returns home. Now, there's a beautiful picture of mercy, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because you've got to remember what the prodigal son did. He took the family inheritance, the things that have been passed down from generation to generation, and he spent them and wasted them and had nothing to show for it. And yet, when he comes home, his dad doesn't demand some kind of... He demands nothing. He just goes out and embraces him. In fact, celebrates.
He gives him more stuff.
He gives him more. I don't think... this guy already lost this thing. But the sad part of that is, what does the younger brother do?
Notices.
Yeah. Well, here's the sad part. He will not come in.
Right. Because he's noticed all this stuff.
That's right. But see, this is what I'm saying. By the way, did that change the mercy of his father for him?
No,
because the father actually goes out to him. This is ridiculous. He won't come in to me. Well,
I'll go out to him.
Hey, no, that's right. In fact, you remember what he says to this? I never realized this until a few weeks ago. What a powerful gospel thing. You know what he says to that brother? He says, all that I have is yours. No, he has not changed the nature of God at all. He is still the same merciful father. Sad to say, though, he took himself out of the mercy, didn't he? He wouldn't come in and enjoy the celebration and the party. So he's outside, but that's not God's choice. God will even come outside to reach out for him. But so you understand what I'm saying? There are some people that don't believe in hell. I believe in hell. I believe in hell. It's a sad, sad, sad teaching. Again, doing another C.S. Lewis thing. C.S. Lewis said he thought it was the most horrible doctrine in all of the Bible. But he said it is in the Bible. As much as I hate it, it is what the Bible teaches. And it makes perfect sense when you realize that, yeah, we have the capability of saying, God, I don't want your mercy. Thanks, but no thanks. Mm-hmm. And then there is no hope for us except to be outside. Does God still love? Of course he does. In fact, again, with a prodigal son, all we have to do is say, God, I've been wrong. Okay, anyway.
Yeah, it's a wonderment that God loves you so much that if you want hell, he'll give it to you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know if that's how I'd phrase it. It just is because God understands he cannot force us.
Right.
Love cannot force anything. Christianity is the only truly, entirely voluntary organization. You know, if you don't want it, well, no one's going to force it on you.
We have two verses left to cover.
Yes, let's read
before
those.
Before we let you go, 37:38.
They affirm what we've just been saying.
Judge not. Well, let's just stop there, shall we?
Yeah.
Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you.
But please understand now, we are still in the realm of what we call the law. I don't know that you can walk away with this passage by just saying, man, I'm in real trouble. Because the measure I have used has often been the measure of stinginess. And the measure of, I'm not going to give this to you because you don't deserve it. Yeah, that's the judgment. That's the condemnation. I'm constantly operating under that principle. And I think the point of this is to help us understand why Jesus Christ is going to have to go suffer and die on a cross. Because this is the way we are. And something has to happen, and something has happened, and that Jesus Christ has suffered and died so that we could be forgiven all of our sins. And once we realize that, then we can come back to this and I think begin to sort it out and truly hear what's saying here. That again, we're not to be the doorstep of humanity, but as Jan pointed out, when we see people in need, we are to respond in love and not ask ourselves, do they deserve it? Are they worthy of it? Do we like them? No, we're going to treat them with mercy and love. Now there's the classic passage. We love, as John says, because he first loved us. And I do like, because it's almost like the gospel just wants to break out of this text, but he says, no, it's not gospel time yet. It won't be gospel time until I've suffered and died for you. But with this heaping of stuff, because that's how it works. We don't deserve it, but God just keeps pouring it out and laying it on measure, despite the fact we have not done these things in our day-to-day life. Yeah, he is a God of mercy, and you cannot change him. There's no way you can change
that. But this is the most abused concept today, especially by those who are, I can't say outside the church anymore, the whole idea is, don't judge me.
Don't
judge me. Can't tell me what's wrong. Can't tell me what's right. Don't judge me. You know, you're a sinner, too. How come you don't? Don't judge me.
Yeah. You know, the irony is, though, Roland, and I know there are people out there like that. I'm not denying that. But in my ministry, that's not usually the thing that I've encountered. The most people I've encountered are the people that are, pretty willing to judge and condemn and do it just off the tip of their head without really thinking.
Oh, no, I didn't say I wouldn't judge you. Oh. I said you have no right to judge me.
Okay.
A little harmonia there. I have no trouble with judgment so long as I'm the one meeting it out.
That's right. Yeah. As long as you're doing it. And But then again, that's the problem here because that is what we do as the nature of people who miss the mark. And Jesus says, no, this isn't how it works. And I love it, though. Don't you love it the way he ties us back to God? This is not some kind of moral principle to follow. It's not the golden rule. See, that's the whole point. It's not the golden rule. It's not like there's principle. And if you'd only follow that, then you'll get the benefit and the reward. But no, this is the way God operates. This is the way he's running the world. And he's just inviting us to believe that about ourselves with all of our sin and our weaknesses. In fact, that's the conclusion of that parable. Remember the guy who sits in the corner and says, I am not just a sinner, not just I've sinned, but I am the sinner. And Jesus says, that's the one that goes away righteous.
Yeah.
In fact, that's what Jesus says. Oh, I haven't come for the righteous. I've come for the sinner. And with that realization that we are exactly the kind of people who would cut off the other guy in line if we had a chance. And indeed, if there was an opening, we might be the ass who will just run down to get in that. This is us.
When we realize
that, and then we realize that we still have God's mercy and forgiveness, it really does make a difference. It really changes us, Roland. Although I think we need to wisely remember that old sinful stuff is still there, and it can crop up, and indeed does. In any number of instances.
So do we do this to the best of our ability, or are they the products of a changed heart and a changed mind?
Yeah, see, thank you, Roland. Yeah, see, that's the whole thing. When you start talking about the best of your ability, you're back into the same categories again of reward and benefit. And no, this is just God working on us. And he really is. And that's what I often say to people. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Just let God do his thing. You be conscious of the wrong you're doing. That's the key thing you can do is repent. Don't ever fall into this pattern of thinking that you've arrived and you've accomplished all you need. And then let God work the changes that he needs to work. I know this guy came to me once. He said, I know I'm not humble. And I said to him, would you not worry about that?
Yeah.
Trust me, if you need to be humbler, God will do it. He's really good at doing that. Just be conscious of the fact that we can get proud and egotistical, and then let the Lord take it from there.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about those who take advantage. But when you really think about it, most of our acts of love are done selfishly,
yeah,
loving
yeah.
to be loved
yeah.
and giving to get. And, you know, it almost sounds as if we're the robbers we were complaining about.
See, there you go. And that's exactly why Jesus says, now hear me, hear me.
Because
this is what you need to hear, that you are the sinners I'm talking about. But you're also the sinners to whom God shows mercy. Kindness even to those that are ungrateful and evil. Wow, what a concept. What a concept. Okay. By the way, though, on the flip side of the coin, God also allowing the natural consequences coming from our ungrateful and evilness. I'm not, again, we're not denying the role of the government, our role to, sometimes we are given the call to judge. As a father, that's what you're supposed to do. We're talking about here where we judge where we haven't been given that call, though. That's the problem.
Pastor John Lukumsky, his sidekick is Pastor Matt Clark, and a very special guest coming up.
Yes, president, vice president. Oh, no, shoot. Oh, did I say mistake?
Don't promote him. Don't promote him. Thank you, my friend. We'll be listening 9:05 Saturday mornings. Wrestling with the Basic.
Thank you, Roland.
Ask the Pastor is coming up next. Stick around.
Listen to the Bible Study Monday through Friday at this same time. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is heard weekdays on KFUO Radio, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.